is a Christmas Story from 1983 and its companion reunion sequel in 2022. It stars Peter Billingsley as Ralphie, and he joins us tonight. Merry Christmas, Peter, and happy holidays to you.
Thank you. Happy holidays to you too, Dave.
It wasn't your first role, as you started doing commercials at a very young age.
Well, I started at 2.5 doing commercials, and so I was really raised in the business. My family was not in the business at all. It was just kind of a fluke, very different in the 70s, not the big kind of Disney, Nickelodeon businesses that you can do with kids. It was more something to do for fun, to do commercials and some child work, and I guess I just was very lucky. I guess I had an aptitude for it. So
some you did like 120 commercials. I mean, you were all over the place by the time.
Of commercials. Yeah. Yep. And lots of films and TV, and then obviously Christmas Story was a big thing that kind of put me, at least sort of put my face out there publicly. But I, having grown up on sets, I was just always curious on the, from the process. It's an environment I was always very comfortable in. So I would ask a lot of questions and always had a desire to probably want to do more than just the work in front of the camera, even though, you know, I loved it and had a great experience and had great parents. I didn't have that kind of, you know, child star journey that a lot of them have where it was a struggle. And so for me, the business was always something that I was curious about and wanted more. And actually, a terrific mentor was Bob Clark, who directed A Christmas Story.
Right.
It was very helpful to me as I was sort of wanting to get behind the camera and, you know, in my late teens and early 20s, and encouraged me to move through post-production and really learn the business, which I did from the other side, and then started working. And then, you know, as Vince was working, we wanted to do things together, form that partnership as well.
Yeah, that's very cool. I was born in 67, so long before A Christmas Story, I remember you in the Hershey's commercials. Messy Marvin, I think.
Oh, the Messy Marvin commercials, yeah.
Yeah, you were. It was almost like a character in and of itself. You mentioned Bob Clark and what a mentor he was for you over the years. When you turned 12, you went on an audition for him for the role of Ralphie in A Christmas Carol, which again, celebrating 35 years this year. You were the first actor he saw, but you got a call back some months later. That's pretty incredible.
Yeah, that's what I had heard, that that he had seen me first, because they set up these, you know, these auditions, and the director just wants to see people at the casting. And I think I was literally the first person he saw, and he thought, wow, this, yeah, I like this guy, but obviously I'm not hiring the first person.
Right, right.
So he went on his journey, had remembered me, and then, you know, they do that sort of stressful process of mixing and matching and pairing through sort of screen testing different chemistries of people and friends and all that stuff, and you all read different roles, and then he settled on me for the role.
Well, we'll talk more with Peter Billingsley, Ralphie from A Christmas Story, right after this on 720 WGN.
It took 10 years for Gene Shepard, I know, to get this movie made, and he was on set quite a bit, but eventually was asked to leave because he was telling the actors how to play the scenes, and I don't think Bob Clark liked that much.
It was, yeah, I mean, it was, I think, all done somewhat in love, but they would certainly, you know, argue about things, because Gene would pull me aside and say, no, say it like this, because he had written the book. You know, A Christmas Story is based on, Gene's a prolific writer, radio personality,
right,
for years.
Yeah.
And really, A Christmas Story is one short story, the series of short stories, and each short story in his book was, one was the turkey, one was the bunny suit, one was the gun, and they kind of put them all together and had The Pursuit of the BB Gun as the A story, so to speak, that moved through.
Yeah.
But really, it was a collection of stories of him growing up in the Midwest as he remembered it. And just, you know, he was sort of a Garrison Keillor of his day, I guess you could say, and just the way he saw and described things. So these two, Bob and Gene, had been working for so long to get the movie made, and they had to make a lot of sacrifices to do it, and it was a small budget. So by the time they were there, there was a lot of passion on the set that you could feel, and pretty strong opinions. So Bob would often say, Gene, get away from my actors. And then he'd say to me, you know, what did he say to you? Don't listen to him. We're going to do it this way.
Wow. Yeah.
So it was fun, but it was all, I think, in really a quest to try to do something that they saw that nobody else did, because, you know, this is not an easy movie to get made. I don't think it was, you know, it's not some high concept Hollywood movie. It was a period piece in the 40s with a narrator that had really never been done like that.
Well, I was going to say, like, you as a producer.
To get a BB gun for Christmas.
Yeah.
It was just, I mean, sadly, I can tell you honestly, probably if I read it, I'd think, oh my gosh, no one's going to go see this thing.
Yeah.
You know, I would probably pass.
Yeah.
Foolishly.
Yeah.
Because you just don't see it. So, and everyone had, And I think Bob had to, you know, agree to direct some more commercial horror movie for the studio to do it. So it's a real testament to their kind of vision and drive behind the movie to take that long and to be that steadfast in what they wanted to do with it. And, you know, Bob was so well prepared. It was a great experience for me to see, because I had done a lot of other movies, big movies, movie with Burt Reynolds called Paternity.
Right. Right.
Big budget movies that had flopped that no one's ever heard of. And, you know, they were all supposed to be, hey, kid, this is the one for you. They're going to launch you. And, you know, that's not why we were doing it, but still there was all this hype. And the nice thing about A Christmas Story, it was sort of your, I say, like, you know, everyone was taking their lunch pail to work kind of movie. It was put your head down and get it done. There was no awareness, no hype. I don't really remember people from the studio coming to visit the set. It was just this very off-the-radar project, and they did an amazing job with it, obviously.
Peter, it's amazing to me, after all these years, and seeing it in the theater when I was just a kid myself, that this movie is now regarded as a holiday classic of the same category as It's a Wonderful Life, Miracle on 34th Street, and A Christmas Carol.
Yeah, still playing on the marathon, and I'd read that it's still one of their highest-rated programs for the year on TNT and TBS. So,
you know,
it's something else, and, you know, I've been fortunate to work on a lot of these, and you really don't know the ones that are going to kind of culturally cut out. You try your best. You try to hit on those chords, but certainly, you know.
Well, yeah. And then in 2022, you brought back these characters from a story we loved for so many years in Christmas Story 2. It must have been amazing to revisit this story with all these people so many years later.
So we might be one of the longest sequels, I think, in Hollywood history. Love but, that. You know, it's certainly the kind of thing that you want to get right, and you really have to get right and at least feel confident going in. So we were able to build 11 houses of old Cleveland Street, including the Parker House and the Bumpus House next door. And it was really important for us to feel like audiences were transported back into this world. Got, as you mentioned, the entire kid cast came back. So to reconnect with those characters, and just love the idea of Ralphie being a dad now, and you know, that sort of struggle, I think it's that idea when you're a kid, you want the perfect Christmas gift. But then when you're a parent, you want Christmas to be perfect for your kids.
Yeah.
And that was kind of a great starting point and sort of the start of another quest for him.
Well, as executive producer, you talk about building these structures. I mean, when was the moment that you kind of stood back and saw this street all ready to go? Did it just, it must have blown your mind.
It totally did. So we had already been shooting and they were literally just finishing up the final coat of paint on the Parker House, and the rest of them were done. And I just kind of stood there, and they started blowing snow on the ground and in the trees. Just had this sensation sort of wash over me, like, man, I'm back. And I called all the cast who were at the hotel, and I said, guys, you got to get down here right now. This is it. Like, you're back on the street. And then piled out of the van, and it kind of had an emotional reaction as well. You know, there's a lot of nostalgia in the film. We just really tried to make a film that I think is in many ways something that families want to watch over Christmas. You want to connect with family. You want to have that sense of nostalgia. And I think it sort of celebrates and has fun with all the anxiety that can go into Christmas, but, you know, also all the hope and promise of Christmas Day.
Your character, and you said you got to be true to all of this to really grab those fans of the original movie. And I will say, Ralphie, the character, is still a dreamer. Relentless enough not to take no for an answer from anybody, because that's what he learned from the character of his father, which I think you honor very well here. I think it's really the character itself very true to the original.
Yeah, well, those are really the two kind of early pillars that we grabbed onto. You know, you look back at that first one, I mean, poor Ralphie is just, I mean, he's fighting bullies, his teacher's giving him bad grades, they're saying he's going to shoot his eye out, Santa Claus is kicking him in the face, you know, but he doesn't stop. He just keeps forging ahead.
Yeah.
It's a nice quality for a protagonist in the movie, and I do like the aspect that he's still a dreamer. He's not really where he wants his life to be. He has those dreams and also those kind of nightmares of, you know, which is also relatable. We often think of what's the worst thing that could possibly happen, and your mind kind of spins out. But ultimately, he's a dad, he's a husband, and he's just trying to put on a great Christmas for him.
Let me ask you this. Now, you talked about so much of the original cast getting back together. How was that, actually being in one room with these people when you were just a kid working with?
Yeah, it was. You know, we've kept in touch over the years, seen each other sort of in piecemeal, but it's really the first time that we were all able to be together. And it's just, you know, it's an interesting thing, I think, when you go through a movie like that. We no doubt formed a bond on the set, but it was an interesting movie. When it came out, it didn't do very well. I mean, it did fine, but, you know, there was no cable, no video, and it just slowly but surely started gaining this traction. And so it was sort of fun for us to get together at certain landmarks, maybe 10-year, 20-year, and see this movie was really starting to gather a really large fan base, which was something we never thought in 1983 after it had come out. You thought, well, right, it was a movie, it came, left, and that was it. You're kind of moving on to the next.
I have to ask you, when you were actually writing this movie, and I thought about this as a parent, that it's not all about the gifts for the kids, it's about the experience. And I know I try to relive some of those things my parents did, my grandparents did for me, and that's really the true mission of this movie, is making sure they experienced what you did, the character of Ralphie did, growing up in Indiana.
Yeah, I think that's very well said. That is what you want, and it's it's tough to do because it seemed like your parents so effortlessly did it. It came together. It often felt so magical as a kid, and then you're trying to figure out, like you're trying to crack the code, but there isn't one. You know, and there's kind of a great line in the movie where Ralphie's frustrated, and he said, "My dad made it all look so easy." And, you know, and the wife says, "Well, it's not easy. They just made it look that way." You know, and there's kind of some truth in that. Like, sometimes you just sort of have to let go and kind of let it be. But I think you're right. That's really what you do care about, and you certainly try your best. But I do feel that, you know, a lot of families can relate, despite the fact that we're sometimes in rooms with relatives or people that maybe we're not as fond of at times. There's something about Christmas morning that is pretty magical, and often the day kind of takes care of itself if you can get there. You know, when you wake up in the morning, there's kind of nothing like that great feeling Christmas morning.
Now I have to ask, you know, when you were putting all this together and building the houses and trying to make it as authentic as you can, like how much like did Warner Brothers have as far as footprints of the houses and everything? They have such an amazing archive. Was this easy to find?
I agree with you. Yeah. Unfortunately, zero. Because so much of that stuff started, I think, afterwards, like the DVDs and everything. You know, people really realize what they have when they started doing the featurettes and everything. So we really, you know, our production designer, Rusty, did an amazing job by just really trying to figure out some, you know, scale based on it. We really had a lot of reference of the original film. And the house is shot pretty well, and you can begin to figure out what heights and proportions should be, but it was a challenging task. And there were, you know, some set photos and other things, but we really feel like we were able to nail it. And he and his team did an amazing job with it.
That's great to hear. You've told me this once before, Peter, but share with folks what memorabilia you have from the original, because you've got a little stash yourself.
I do. And listen, I'm very fortunate because I had done a lot of stuff, and my mom would always grab a little keepsake from movies or commercials, you know, not thinking it would have any value other than personal value to you. You know, oh, that's the shirt from that movie. Sure. So I have, which all this stuff now I had to put into a humidity controlled vault because valuable.
Yeah.
I have the original BB gun. I have the original cowboy suit from the fantasy, from the Western fantasy. And I have the only bunny suit that was ever made.
Wow. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's kind of great to have, for sure. You know, none of it fits anymore, obviously. But,
I don't think so.
But it's certainly nice to have it.
That's very cool. So then you do have, if your mom grabbed it, you do have that that first Hershey bottle, because I remember you doing Hershey's commercials.
Yeah, I did that Missy Marvin ad campaign. I think I have the original eyeglasses from that and some other stuff. It just was amazing. She was really great about just saying, hey, let's just keep a little something. It will be fun. Again, so much of my career, there were no aspirations of it really becoming much of anything other than maybe just a positive experience as a kid to do stuff.
Yeah.
It was the 1970s when I was doing this stuff, and the business was very different back then. There wasn't branding and building companies and, this stuff. So it just was, you know, if you're behaving yourself, you know, you'll have an opportunity to go do some fun things.
That's right. Before I let you go, the Christmas Story original house that was shot for exteriors that's in Cleveland was restored many years ago, turned into a museum. You know it's up for sale now, right?
I did. I heard that. Yeah, just broke. I've actually never been, but heard the, he sort of got like a gift shop, and I think some of the rooms match. So, it's really quite something, just how many tentacles this movie seems to continue to touch.
No question at all. A Christmas Story Christmas. Watch it now on HBO Max. Peter Billingsley, thanks for jumping in with us once again, and happy holidays to you and your family.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it very much.